So Chaim Kanievsky's father was Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Kanievsky, better known as the Stipler Gon. He was from a place called Hornstipel. And he had learned in yeshivas Navardic. Most of the big Russia yeshiva who we think of, we know, became great Russia yeshiva. Many of the names we're familiar with had learned in Slobodka. But two of the major yeshivas at the time were Slobodka and Navardic, and the Stipler happened to have learned in Navardic. Here's a picture of him. Passed away in 1985. Wow. B'nai Brak. So I was zochet to be on planet Earth at the same time as him. But you aren't, so. I always think about that. You know, the people like who you were alive at the same time. I never met the Stipler. Never met the Lubavitch Rebbe either, but at least I was in the world when he was also in the world. So I feel, you know, you feel a kesher to certain tzaddikim just knowing that you were somewhere in the world. A 4-year-old kid running around in Philadelphia at the time. The Stipler Gon was on the Ziknei Hador in Bnei Brak. But it's still cool to just think about that there was such a presence in the world. Anyways, the Stipler was known, besides being a tremendous Gon in learning, we have his Svarim, of course, the Kilas Yaakov on Shas. He was also a tremendous Baal Eitzah and a tremendous listener. People who had met him said he was very hard of hearing. But in terms of his ability to listen to people and understand their problems and to give advice, he was known to be a particularly wise individual in that regard, a real pikeach in terms of giving etzah. And he writes very often, he recognizes certain psychological insights in the Torah, which I find to be very profound. So there's a piece that he has in Parshas Lech Lecha in his small volume called Birchas Peretz, which is somewhat well known. It's a very important piece, and I think it will give us some perspective on Avram Avinu, and will give us a lot of perspective on what it means to be a growing Jew. Okay, so let's read inside. It's a short piece, but I really wanted to do this. Then we'll look at something else also. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha v'chulu el ha'aretz asher areka. Hashem says to Avram, I'm sending you to the land that I will show you. Now, exactly like where am I supposed to go? Right? If Hashem communicates with you and says, okay, we're going somewhere. Lech lecha, start going. So which, I don't even know which direction to start walking in. Like, where am I supposed to go? Don't worry, El Aretz Asher Areka, just go. We'll figure it out as we go. And that's what Chazal seemed to say. V'amru Chazal Kan b'Medrash Rabba. Chazal in the Medrash quoted by Rashi say, Lama lo gila lo miyad le'eza aret yelech. Why didn't Hashem reveal to him immediately where they were going? First of all, it's just confusing. It's plain confusing. I don't even know where to go. But part of, you know, isn't part of the excitement knowing where you're going? So Rashi says, actually, no, kedei lechava be'enav. It actually makes it more exciting. There's a certain chavivas, a certain pleasure that comes, an excitement and love that comes from that mystique, from that mystery. And not only that, by walking with Hashem without even knowing where he's walking, litein lo schara kol psia upsia. Rashi says, every step will be what? With tremendous mesiras nefesh. Again, if I know what I'm signing up for, that's one thing. If I'm signing a contract to partner with God, I don't even know what the details are. I don't even know what I'm signing up for. That's a pretty bold move. It takes tremendous bitachon for a person to walk with God blindly. He doesn't know where he's going. But the truth is, Hashem says, I set it up that way because it's going to create a certain chavivus. There's something special that comes from that mystery. And more than that, every step that you take without really knowing what you're doing, and you're only going because God said so. So every step is another step where you can say, I took another step for you, Hashem. I didn't really understand what was going on, but I took a step for you, and I took another step for you, and I took another step for you. Again, once I know where I'm going, I can say, oh yeah, that's worth it. That makes a lot of sense. I want to go there. But to walk, so to speak, with blind faith, just following HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every single step was a fulfillment of the tzivoy of the Ratzon Hashem. Avraham Avinu is the first real Baal Bitachon in that sense. The first one to really, really walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that showed complete trust in Hashem. Which, of course, explains why Avram is how old at the beginning of this week's Parsha? How old is Avram when he begins his journey? 86. He's 75. The Torah says he's 75 years old. Right, it's explicit in the opening Pesukim of Parsha. Lech Lecha, Avram is 75 years old when he walks with Hashem. As far as HaKadoshim explained, the Bas Ayin, it's a sefer of Chassidus, Rav Avram of Avrich. He writes, and others have this idea as well, Now, what's the gematria of bitachon? Take a guess. You got it, Donnie. 75. Right, 75. He's 75 years old. Because Avram is, he's mamish, a living, walking, breathing person of bitachon. 75 is gematria bitachon. Because to walk blindly with Hashem, to uproot yourself from everything that you know, Be'artzecha, Moladcha, Be'savicha, to go, Ela Aretz Asher Eka, some open-ended, just go. And every step is mamish, he's going to get rewarded for because of that willingness to walk blind. So it'll be tough. Yeah.
Would there be, because Hashem, I mean, obviously, from the Pesukim, it doesn't say that Avram is for it, but does it make a difference by withholding information from him as opposed to for Avram not asking to know it?
So what do you mean? Say,
you know what I'm saying?
Sort of.
Like, it's one thing to not.
Like, meaning he didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
It's not like Avram said, Hashem, I know you want to explain everything to me, but I would rather just, I want to show you how much I trust you, don't tell me anything. Versus not being offered the, meaning Avram didn't have a choice really here.
Yeah.
Well, the choice was to not, you know, not respond to the word of Hashem. So Asema says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated to the whole world. So Asema says an amazing thing. So Asema says Hashem said that to the whole world, and only Avram was listening. It wasn't specifically, I mean, in retrospect, the Torah writes, Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha. In retrospect, it was Hashem communicating to Avram. But Hashem put it out there. Hashem said, anyone who wants to come along for the ride, you know, Mila Hashem Elai, whoever wants to come, I'm not telling you exactly where we're going. I'm asking you to make tremendous sacrifice, give up what you know, to come on a different type of journey with me. Right? But that was an amazing thing, and Avram had the bitachon to do it. So you're right, he wasn't really given the option to know the information. Right? But, you know, Nasa v'Nishma, this is Avram's, you know, Maisa Avos Simon Lebanim, so to speak, of Klal Yisrael's Nasa v'Nishma. That we sign up for things, we commit ourselves to do things before we even know what we're signing up for. Yes?
I would think, if anything, it'd actually be easier to go if you don't know, like, the final reason, because I find, like, let's say, for example, like, we're all given it was just revealed to us right now, like, the purpose of Judaism, the purpose why we're doing this all. But be like, I mean, if we can understand it,
right.
Oh, that's it. Like,
right, so you're saying the longing and the hoping and the wonderment.
So it's kind of like the understanding that there's something that we can't understand that's infinite.
Right, and right. There's definitely something that, correct. I'm rereading a book now called The Progress Paradox, which is about how life gets better and people feel worse. And part of the reason is because in the olden days, there were so many things that people didn't have. There were so many things in theory to look forward to. We have everything. Every time, like, my birthday rolls around and my mother's like, what can I get you? I was like, I don't need anything. I literally don't need anything. So invariably, I always end up like saying, okay, like, buy me like a couple new Sfarim, that's it. I really don't need new Sfarim either. If you've been to my house, you know I have plenty of Sfarim, which I don't know. I have plenty of books to read. You know, like, I don't need anything. Right? But that creates a certain feeling of you know, so now that I have it all, like, so now what's the tachlis, right? The amazing Torah from Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, the Talmud of Rav Kook on this also, where he speaks about, and it's a very deep idea, it requires a lot of explanation, the feeling that after Mashiach comes, there's going to be a little bit of a letdown. Because the longing and the hoping and the dreaming, there's a certain pleasure that comes with that anticipation and that desire that, you know, and once that desire is fulfilled, he says, oh, that was it, that wasn't so great. Not everything I imagined it to be. There's a lot of experiences in life where a person has a certain dimyon about what it is or what it might be. Then you realize it's very different. And sometimes that's, if you don't understand how to live with the dream, even when you have the desire fulfilled, it could be very disappointing. Hayinu kecholmim, right? Like we say in Shir HaMaalos. So you're right, there is a certain, and that's what Rashi's saying here. Rashi says the fact that it was hidden from him is part of what makes it easier in a sense, because the mystery makes it exciting. And yet at the same time, the second part of Rashi is saying, well, the challenge is walking blindly with Hashem. So let's read inside. Let's see. Good. You're saying a good point. Umitam harishon in the third line. Shamru kedei lachava be'enav. So the first explanation of Rashi to increase the pleasure, the desire, the longing in his eyes. Lamadnu shahadavar bischabev etzal adam kishu mechapes achrav. That things become pleasurable when what? When you're seeking them, when you're searching for them. I just realized the Chanukah Torah. The Rambam uses the expression in one place. The Rambam refers to mitzvahs ner Chanukah as a mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. Mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. It's a strange lashon in the Rambam. Some say it was even, we find a similar lashon maybe in the Zohar Kadosh, and they say maybe the Rambam learned Zohar. It's a weird, it's like an unusual lashon. That the Rambam writes about specifically mitzvahs ner Chanukah as a mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. It's a very special, very precious mitzvah. Why is Chanukah so precious? So I'm not going to go into the whole thing now, but I think there's something to develop here. Because what did the Stipler just tell us? The Stipler told us that chavivas comes from what? From being mechapes achrav. Umishtokek, it's a longing. When a person has a longing and a desire. Zman rav kodem hasagaso, for a long time before he's able to attain it, before he gets there. That anticipation is very energizing. So if there's one Yom Tov, where the Yom Tov is described as the Yom Tov of longing, it's the Yom Tov of Chanukah. I'll just tell you two places where we see that. First of all, the whole miracle of Chanukah came about through what? Through Badku Umatsu, that they searched, right? They were mechapes, they were searching for that flask of oil. They were looking, maybe, there's one. They saw the whole Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But they were searching. The Svarim talk about that. Maybe Mirtz Hashem Chanukah, I'll have a shir on that. The search for the Pach Shemen. And that's why mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. Something you search for comes with chavivas. That's what we're learning from the stipa. It's a tremendous yesod. When you want something, when you're longing for something, that creates a certain, again, attachment to something. And Chanukah being the Yom Tov, which the B'nai Yisachar says is a chinuch, is a training course for the Geula, Chanukah, which has many awesome messianic themes, the longing and hoping for Mashiach, it's a taste of the light of Lasid Lavo. All those ideas about Chanukah, how Chanukah is a taste, it's a glimmer of something of the distant future, again, that creates a certain longing. And what we're learning here is that longing and desire and hoping, before you actually get there, creates a certain chavivah. So maybe that's why the Rambam describes mitzvahs ner Chanukah as mitzvah chaviva ad ma'od. Because Chanukah is the yom tov of longing, of searching, of being mechapes, right? They were searching for the Pach Shemen, of hoping, of dreaming. Dreaming has a lot to do with Kislev. Chodesh Kislev has a lot to do with dreaming. Okay, but Mirtz Hashem, we'll get there soon. We're only at the halfway point of Marachashon. We still got some time. Okay, but let's get the point that he says here. So when you want something, you don't have it yet, that creates a certain chavivas. V'ilu hayabala oso adavar atzma behesach adas. But if the thing would come to you without much contemplation, when it comes to you too easily, ubalo chuka, and without hoping, without desire, without effort to get there, lahasagaso, to attain it, lo haisa chaviva be'enav. That was the punishment we mentioned last week. That was the punishment of the nachash. What's the punishment of the nachash? The nachash is told you're going to eat dirt all the days of your life. That's not a punishment. And all you can eat buffet. But it's not fun when you can go to your favorite restaurant as much as you want. Regular people who have to think before they go out to a fancy restaurant enjoy the experience of going to a fancy restaurant. People who are very rich in breakfast, lunch, and dinner, they never have to think twice about buying the finest gourmet foods. They get tired of it. It becomes boring. It's not the birthday, outing or anniversary going to that special restaurant we go to once a year, where you wait all year with excitement, anticipation to spend time with a loved one. When you have it all the time, you take it for granted. You didn't work at it. Lefum tzara agra, it's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. In accordance with the struggle, the effort, the anticipation, is the agra, is the schar, is the reward, is the enjoyment. Okay? So says the stipler, when you get things too easily, so then it's not fun. It's not enjoyable. It takes the sweetness and the pleasure out of it. So says the stipler, let's apply that to our spiritual pursuits. He says where it's underlined, V'lamadnu mikan le'inyon limud ha-Torah. What makes Torah enjoyable? It's dafka the struggle. It's the amelis ba-Torah, it's the struggle in Torah that brings out the sweetness of Torah. Now, sometimes people don't like the struggle. We want it easier and easier. But the point of the book that I just told you I'm reading from Greg Easterbrook, called Progress Paradox, means that as life gets easier, life gets less fun because you expect everything. We're not working for things. We don't have the work ethic that our grandparents had, not even close. My grandfather, who just passed away, he fought in the American Army during the war. He was a POW for 8 months. He had appreciated life because he understood what it meant to fight for things. We have most of our life handed to us. We have many comforts that our ancestors could only dream of. I thought about it this morning when I took a hot shower, just thinking about this piece and thinking about that book and thinking about just like, you know what it meant to be able to cleanse yourself in hot water once upon a time? It's a whole process. It's something you did maybe once a month. If you were Jewish, you did it once a week. You know, Chavad Shabbos. Understand how Chazal talk about Rechitza B'chamin for Shabbos, washing in hot water for Shabbos. I think I'd shower every day if I want.
Coast to coast, yeah.
That's right. That's a sign you're very from because you're a kusher to the Free of the Kedaris. You don't shower that often. Disgusting, Yeshiva Bachar, yeah?
The struggle nowadays is the fact that we don't have a hand to tell us that we don't realize that how, I guess the struggle nowadays is the psychological and spiritual issues that we do have.
Right.
That we don't realize.
Correct.
That we have all these physical needs that are just handed to us. And we don't
correct. Right, so that becomes the right. That itself becomes a struggle. Being able to understand our brachos and to process them the right way, and not exactly what this book is saying, like not becoming depressed by the fact that we, Baruch Hashem, have so much blessing in our lives. You know, anyone buying Mega Millions, 1.6 billion. Mir Tashem, if I win, I'll still come back for at least one day this year. And then I'll pay for all of you to join my kollel in Eretz Yisrael. Could all drop out of college together. Yeah.
Are we supposed to create like voids in our lives so we know God is...
Right, so Max, that's also a deep question. Are we supposed to like create this distance so that we can create this longing? Right? It's interesting. Do I want to be far from Hashem so I could long to be close to Hashem? I mean, it's Ratz of Hashem. This is just life. This is the up and downs we mentioned last week of the heart monitor, which makes for life. It's ups and downs. It's the Ratz of Hashov. It's the reason Rav Shimon Schwab writes in his commentary on Tefillah that we shuckle during davening. Because we're constantly grappling with this need to be close to Hashem, and then we pull back. I don't feel worthy of being close to Hashem. And actually, I want to be far from Hashem because that creates a desire to be close again. It's the reason Hashem set up the laws of Nida, that a husband and wife have times of closeness and times of physical separation, which will create a certain chavivas. That's exactly the language that Chazal use. That when a woman goes to the mikvah, because there's been that period of separation between husband and wife, it creates a certain renewal in the relationship, and she's as beloved to him as the first, as the night of their marriage. It's a brilliant institution of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, further enhanced by Chazal, with the stringencies that really the Jewish women took upon themselves, certain stringencies in Hilchos Nida, to create even more separation. But that's a big bracha. Yeah. But it's a good question. Meaning, do we dafka want to be far, and do we want struggles in order to then feel a sense of accomplishment when we attain it? I don't know.
I'm one of our Rabban, Rabbi Nachman, says that, he says, doesn't he say that all his rach, this is really his karmas?
Right.
Like all distance, really.
Right.
Is really closeness.
Like right.
I guess you explain that.
Right. You need the combination. The pasuk says shalom shalom l'rachuk u'l'karav. That distance is closest, and closest is distance, and somehow they all go together. Svasemis actually brings a gematria. Svasemis doesn't bring so many gematrias. Svasemis says that the gematria of rachuk and karov are the same, but you have to know how to spell it in the pasuk. How do you spell karov? Karov. How much is karov? And how much is rachok? Yeah, karov is spelled with the vav, and rachok is without the vav in the pasuk. So rachok is resh ches kof. How much is resh ches kof? 308. And how much is karov? Kof resh vav beis 308. All right. So rachok is actually gematria karov to prove Sam's point, or to prove Rabbi Nachman's point that his rachos is his karvos. Distance is closeness. Again, you have to be a mature person and a deep thinker to understand what that means. Distance, closeness. You know, if you're a old Litvak, you say, what does that mean? How could far be close? Okay, if you're you understand that, I know what you mean. That's real life. Sometimes when I'm far, that creates feeling of a need to be closer than when I was close. And that feeling of wanting to be close is more satisfying than actually being close. The very deep idea. And having struggles is a bracha. Rabbi Aaron Cutler cried over the fact that he felt that learning Torah was too easy for him. He was jealous of people who had a hard time learning Torah. He said, I'll never know some of the experiences that Chazal described of a person fighting for Torah. He said he was too smart. And he cried. Rabbi Huttner said he saw Rabbi Aaron Cutler cry over the fact that he would never understand Surah Mamari Chazal that talk about how the struggle creates a certain chavivus. He felt that he never had that struggle. So next time you're sitting with a Bava Kama and you feel like, you know, smashing your head into the wall, that's how much fun you're having. Yeah? But okay, realize it's a bracha. It's a big bracha. The struggle creates chavivus. I told you the other day, Avram Shor says the gematria of Amelus. What's the gematria of Amelus? To Amelim Batorah. What?
The grass is always greener on the other side.
Yeah, the grass is always greener on the other side. That's true. It's also, it's Gemara and Thomas. Grass is always green on the other side. It doesn't say it exactly like that, but. What's the gematria of Amelus? No? How much? 546. So Avram Shor says Amelus is gematria matok, which means sweetness. Because the struggle is the sweetness, and the sweetness is the struggle. In accordance with Shetu Amelim Betor, B'chukosai Teilecho, Amelus is gematria matok, sweet. The sweetness of Torah comes from what? Comes from the struggle of Torah. So it says, the stipler gon v'lamad mikan l'inyan limud Torah, where it's underlined about 6 lines in, we learn from here the same thing is true when it comes to learning Torah. Kimishu yari shemayim, u'mishtokek mo'od lahavin amitos advar. A person who wants so badly to understand Torah, and he's working with yagia, and he's mishtada, l'chapis achareim, kifi kochos man rav, and he's willing to not give up on the Gemara after 30 seconds, but he's willing to sit for an hour and a half trying to crack 2 lines of Gemara. Oz kishuz zocha shadvar mizbar metzlo umasigam. When he's zocha, to understand, to grasp the words, right? Mitbarer. What does borer mean?
To clarify.
Right, to separate, but it means in this context to clarify. When he clarifies the words, exactly. When he has a, right, when there's a sense of clarification. When he knows what it is and what it's not. He understands the pieces in the puzzle. And he's, again, he has a hasaga. Hasaga means an attainment, an understanding of them. Heim chavivim ve'einav l'ma'od. Aval mi she'einu mishtokek ma'od l'hasagaso. But a person who doesn't long for it, he doesn't long to attain it. Va'dvarim ba'olo b'kalus b'lo yegiyo v'chipos. And it comes to him too easily. Oz nofel b'har b'chashivas ha'dvar metzla. He doesn't appreciate it. He doesn't, if he has the credit card and he can just charge away whatever he wants. He never saves up for anything in his life. Such a geschmack feeling, being able to, you know. I remember sitting as a kid. I hold it like it's such a tragedy today that you can listen to any song whenever you want. You'll never know the feeling of sitting by your stereo with a tape in the tape deck, waiting to hit record when your favorite song comes on the radio. You'll never know that feeling. It's geschmack as anything. Trying to, you know, make your own little mixtape. Waiting and hearing the song on the radio and running to your room to hit record. I Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Hashem gave me that tzchus. You know? But it's true. The waiting to catch your favorite song on the radio is very different than just downloading 5 billion songs and listening to it as many times as you want, being sick of it after 5 minutes.
What are on the mixtapes?
What?
What are on the mixtapes?
What's on those tapes? Songs. From the radio. V'hine yadua shehadavar sa'osa ala adam roshem gadol shal simcha v'chein chas v'shalom epcha. So now look what he says. V'hine yadua shehadavar sa'osa ala adam roshem gadol shal simcha. Something that makes a big impression. Roshem means an impression. There's a whole Torah here. I'll just mention it. I'll just give you the... Roshem is also gematria, Amelus, by the way. 546. Amelus makes a Roshem. Amelus creates matuk, sweetness. Right? So something that makes an impression upon a person, a joyous moment, or God forbid the opposite, the intense moments of our lives, the memorable moments of our lives. It's so funny. You think about certain things that made an impression on you. I think of certain moments in my life, positive or negative, which in some way could have been seen as small things. It's like a funny thing. What makes a Rosh and what doesn't? What do we remember, what do we not remember in our lives? Ezehu zocher zman rav. Something that makes an impression, a particularly positive impression, or God forbid the opposite, he says, a person remembers for a long time. Shadavar nisher chakuk ma'od bezichrono. It leaves a mark on his memory. Aval davar she'eino mishtokek, where it's underlined. Aval davar she'eino mishtokek alav. Vasagaso eino misamcho. But something you never longed for. And therefore, when you got it, you weren't overjoyed. Right? Again, even just waiting for something to arrive in the mail once upon a time. There's a certain simcha in that. A certain joy checking every day to see if it arrived yet. As opposed to being able to track your package, knowing exactly when it's going to come. And it gets there so quickly that by the time you press, you know, order, it's already being dropped off at your doorstep by a flying drone. So, in some ways, that's awesome. I never have to wait. But in some ways, it's such a chorban. It's such a chorban of our nefesh to get things as soon as you want them. Zedavar ino osa roshim amuk benafsho. It doesn't make a big mark upon one's soul. Uvizman katzar hu meshacho. And he forgets it right away because, whatever, I can always get it again if I lose it. He didn't work for it. Similar to what Chazal say in the sixth parak of Sukkos, of Shuas, milsa delo ramya ale de inish lav adaite. Something that a person doesn't, ramya ale literally means like place upon him. Something that a person doesn't take a chrayas for, it's not on one's mind. The things that I'm thinking about a lot, the things I have to be concerned about, worried about, so those things become important to me. The more you think about something, the more you focus on something, it's a basic psychological rule. Charlie Harari wrote about it in his new book. The more you, whatever you focus on, you get more of. So you focus on positive things, you get positive things. Right? But when we become just casual about our attitude towards things, because everything is just so accessible, and I can get it whenever I want, as quickly as I want, so then it doesn't. I don't have a true ownership over it. Is what he's really saying. Umemela yotze mikan shazikaron lizchor es talmudo, who lefi erech rov tshukasa. So remembering your learning is in accordance with your effort. I was walking Friday night to the Sokachov Rebbe's Tish in Bergenfield, and I was chazering over, in my head I was trying to go through the steps of Bava Kama, from the beginning of the Masechta to Daf Gimel we were up to, just to go through the Shakla Vatari. And I knew it. And I was so happy that I knew it. You know why I knew it? I knew it because as a shir, we've been working hard and slowly and diligently to get down the steps, and not to skip steps, and not to pretend we understand it, but to go through the tedious steps of really understanding the Gemara. It was such a simcha to know that I could go through a whole page of Gemara in my head. Okay, it's one page out of 2,711 pages of Gemara. I got a long way to go. But I felt that I owned it because we had really worked hard on it, slowly. So you remember the things that you work hard on. When you're mishtadel, lahasaga satorah, when you work hard to acquire Torah, it makes a mark on one's mind. Well, if he rov ha-simcha shabalo basagas davar midivrei Torah, ken yezichi rasov mashalaman. So when you work hard at something and you're overjoyed when it finally clicks, there's nothing better as a Rebbe than watching a Talmud who you see his eyes light up when he chaps Tosos' question or Tosos' answer. He follows the steps of the Gemara. You see that it's clicking and it's creating a simcha because he's working hard and he's getting it. And you know he's going to remember. He's going to remember that Torah that he learned because it wasn't something you just, you know, passed over. It was something you spent time really working to acquire. And therefore you own it, you remember it. Okay, bottom paragraph. Umitam hasheni shamru shalachin lohodia kadosh baruch hu la'avram avinu alav shalom miyad la'ezo aretz yelech kedei litin lo schar kol psia upsia. So what do we learn again from the first idea in Rashi, right? That it creates a certain chavivas when you're working towards something and it's mysterious and you're longing for it, that creates a certain chavivas. What do we learn, says the Stifler, from the second point in Rashi, which is that Avram gets reward for every step because he doesn't know where he's going. Says the Stipler, Lamadnu, She'ilu hayodea lehechan hu holech, lo hayelo kol kach schar psios. If he knew exactly where he's going, he doesn't get reward for every step. Why? V'nira da hainu taima. Lefi she'af al pi she'kol psia she'holech, hu osev aholech l'kayim mitzvah sekadosh baruch hu. Meaning you could say, why should Avram not get paid for every step? God tells you to walk from point A to point B. You know exactly where you're going. It's still, every step is still a fulfillment of the Ratzon Hashem. Every step is a step in the direction that God wants me to walk. So why should Avram only get paid if he doesn't know where he's going? Why shouldn't he get paid for fulfilling God's wishes and God's command, even if he knows where he's going? Why should that be? Shamar lo lech lecha, he told him to go, and every step is a mitzvah, no? Mikol makom, nonetheless, kvar mu'urav bo tzad hana. This is an amazing line. It says the Stipler, you know why it ruins a little bit the schar for the mitzvah if he knows where he's going? Because every step, there's a certain pleasure that Avram gets. What's the pleasure? Of knowing that he's getting close to the destination. Ever been on a flight and you're like watching the plane, you know? You're watching that screen that tells you how many more miles till you get there. Or the countdown, you know, from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz or vice versa. Yeah? So knowing that, okay, 100 steps to go, 50 steps to go, 25 steps to go, that itself gives a certain knowing that I'm almost there. There's a certain pleasure in knowing, okay, I only have so much more to go. If you're on a journey and you don't know when you're ever going to get there, is this going to take a day? Is this going to take a week? Is this going to take a year? Avram has no idea when he's set to arrive. And therefore, because he doesn't have that information, again, let's read the words again. Mikol makom, 6 lines in the bottom. Kvar mu'urav bo tzad hana. There'd be an element. Mu'urav means mixed in. There'd be mixed in to this challenge a little bit of pleasure, knowing that b'chol psihu miskariv l'makom menucha, that every step he gets closer to the place of rest, right, to his arrival, his point of arrival, the place he's trying to get to. V'yimisariv b'zeh ke'ein ta'arovis shel shelo lishma. And that would add a little bit of lo lishma, knowing that I'm getting close to carrying out the mission. But to be a true Baal Bitachon, like we started with, 75 years old, Gvatra Bitachon, means to walk with Hashem, and I don't know how long this is going to take at all. This might take a week, this might take forever. I have no idea, but whatever it is, God, I'm in. I'm in for the long haul. Whatever it's going to be. Masha'enkin, kisha'eni yodea laheichan yeleh, when he doesn't know where he's going, ve'eni yodeim ba'alichasu miskariv l'makom, sha'ashem yisbarach yira lo levasov, he has no idea if he's even getting closer. Maybe God's running me around, the same way Hashem ran Klai all around the desert for 40 years, before he took them to Eretz Yisrael. I have no idea. Nimsa she'eina osik ela b'kiyam mitzvah Hashem yisbarach. So every step was a true fulfillment of what? God told me to go here. I don't know if I'm getting closer. I don't know if I'm getting farther. Being on the road is tedious. Chazal have many mamari chazal that talk about the tiresome nature of being on the road. Everyone wants to just arrive. No one likes being in a state of travel. And yet Avram walked blindly with Hashem. Lech lecha la'aretz shara eka. 2 lines from the bottom. V'yesh b'zeh schar psius atzum rav. Atzum v'rav. Akol psia upsia shehu l'shem shemayim b'vav. And therefore, every single step was truly Hashem Shemayim. And I think the same thing can be said about our experience learning Torah. We don't know when it's going to click. We don't know how many shiurim, how many daf and gemara until finally I can do this on my own without someone helping me, whether it's a Rebbe or a Chavrusa or an art scroll. And I don't know how many Shemona Esrei I'm going to have to daf and feeling uninspired until I finally get an inspiring Shemona Esrei, that moment of breakthrough. And in spiritual pursuits, you never know when it's gonna really click. But the avoda is to what? Is to be like Avraham Avinu, and if Hashem says go, you just go. And you go, and you go, and you go until you get there. Sometimes it comes quickly, sometimes it takes a long time. But to continue to walk with the Kodesh Baruch is a tremendously courageous thing. Okay, so that's the pshat. That's the pshat. And one little Rashi, two very important psychological insights in one little Rashi. Again, number one, the longing, the desire, the hoping to get there, the work of wanting to get there itself creates a certain love. And therefore, when we learn Torah and it feels like we want to get there, but we're not getting there, we should feel very encouraged by that. And again, the fact that you're walking in the dark, the fact that you don't know when you're going to get there, right? While it may increase the frustration, it'll also increase the schar. Because every step that you take, not knowing exactly how long it's going to take to arrive, that itself is something that you're going to be rewarded for. Chashuv little piece, no? Very important. Amish Yisodos in sticking with Hashem throughout the journey of life. Okay? Good? Okay, we thank the Stipler Gaon for teaching us this amazing insight. Okay.